Blog Talk Radio.
Sounds of the Living Water Radio Show. Sounds of the Living Water. Sounds of the Living Water. Sounds of the Living Water Radio Show.
We teach the Bible from Genesis to Revelation. Preach the gospel unto the scattered nations. So many people are lost, it's time to be awakened. Come out of this world, it's ran by Satan. Through the Most High's laws, flee from things pagan. Understanding the word of Yah is really breathtaking. Under His love, and covering it, so amazing. Thank you each day, so now let's praise Him. Do things in unity, you and me. You wanna know what we're talking about? Come and see. It's time to be deeply rooted up like a tree. You want the truth, it will set you free.
Sounds of the Living Water. Sounds of the Living
I take it we are unmuted here, sisters and brothers. Welcome to the Sound of Living Waters radio show.
Hello.
Sunday night. Hello. Some technical difficulties, some reverb, some feedback. Welcome to the Sound of Living Waters radio show. Hello. Can you hear me?
Yes.
Can you hear me?
Can you hear us?
I can hear you now, yes.
Okay, good. Sorry about that.
No, not at all. Not at all. Again, welcome to the Sound of Living Waters radio blog, radio show. My name is Brother Paul. I will be your instructor and beginning host for tonight. Tonight's precept, part two of A Look in the Mirror, part two of examining yourself. And today's title of today's lesson will be Reflections in the Mirror. Reflections in the Mirror. But before we get started, let's go ahead and come before our God and open up in prayer. So brothers, if you will, please remove your covers. And if you sisters would, please cover your heads. And we'll face the temple in Jerusalem or to the east and we'll open up. Heavenly Father, O great God of Israel, as always, Father, on Sundays, we come before you with two precepts, Lord, with two requests. We ask, one, Lord, that you keep your ever-loving hedge about all your saints. And, Father, we ask again tonight for wisdom, for knowledge and understanding. Father God, at the very least, we ask that you edify us. We come together in your name. We come together to hear your word, Father. We ask all these things in the name of your beloved Son, Jesus. To all who hear my voice and agree, in Jesus' holy name we pray. Amen. Okay, sisters and brothers, once again, welcome to the Sound of Living Waters radio show. The title of tonight's precept will be Reflections in the Mirror. Reflections in the Mirror. Sisters and brothers, we talked a couple of weeks ago, and I wasn't here last week. I was actually at a Christian concert. I went to see for King and Country. And oh, my goodness. Last Sunday was my Feast of Unleavened Bread. And last Sunday, as the show was starting, the day was coming to an end, was my Wave Sheaf Day last Sunday. And then Sunday night, I was able to attend this concert with my family. So I wasn't with you last week. But the week before, we dealt with a lesson that we called The Look in the Mirror. And what it was, it showed us what we're doing when we're examining ourselves. We talked a little bit about the things that we're looking for. And in today's lesson, Reflections in the Mirror, now that we know what we're looking for, we're putting that mirror up to see if these things are us. And we're also going to add a little bit to this precept today. We're going to talk a little bit about meditation. And I'm going to go ahead right now, and I'm just going to define meditation. According to Webster's 1828 dictionary, this is a synopsis of the paragraphs that they had. Meditation is a close or continued thought, the turning or revolving of the subject in the mind, serious contemplation. Serious contemplation. So the meditation, when the Bible's talking about meditating, it's not talking about some Eastern, Hindu, Buddhist, just clear your mind and just let whatever take over. There are certain guidelines that we have in prayer and in two-way prayer and in praying and meditating, and we're not dealing with all that today. But we wanted to define meditation because we're going to deal with some scriptures that talk about meditation and examining ourselves. But we're going to start this off in Mark, the 13th chapter. Mark, the 13th chapter. These are days that are right around the corner, sisters and brothers. These are days that we should be prepared for with our walk. These are days we should prepare for. Mark 13, and Brother Jeremy, if you will, as always, start this lesson off, brother, whenever you're ready. Mark 13 and verse 12. Go ahead.
Now the brother shall betray the brother to death, and the father the son, and children shall rise up against their parents and shall cause them to be put to death.
One more verse, brother.
And ye shall be hated of all men for my name's sake, but he that shall endure unto the end, the same shall be saved.
Now, when the Lord is talking about brothers becoming brothers and being put to death, and fathers the son and children rising up against their parents and shall cause them to be put to death, he's not talking spiritually here. He's talking physically here. Our Messiah is telling you that these days are around the corner when the own people in your family that you love will betray you because they don't believe the way you do. That's why the Lord said now, if you don't hate your mother, your father, your sister, your brother, your relatives within your own house, if you will, if you don't hate them, in other words, if you don't put aside their foolish doctrines and their foolish ways of worship and stick to what the Lord says to do, then you're not worthy to be his disciple. Because these days right here are around the corner, they're coming, and you shall be hated of all men for his name's sake. But then we have to endure until the end so we can be saved. And this is supposed to be us. Let's go to Luke, the 14th chapter. Luke 14. And, brother, we're going to pick this up in verse 26. Luke 14 and verse 26. When you get there, go ahead, brother.
If any man come to me and hate not his father and mother and wife and children and brethren and sisters, yea, and his own life also, he cannot be my disciple.
And not only our brothers and our sisters and our fathers and our mothers and all that foolish doctrine that they bring to us, but our own life also, all the foolishness that we come up with in our walk and fall short. We got to hate our own life also, always constantly examining ourselves and correcting ourselves. Because you can't hate your brother and your father and your mother and your sister and your children and even your own life if you're not examining yourself constantly. Go ahead, brother.
Verse 27, and whosoever doth not bear his cross and come after me cannot be my disciple.
Yes, sir. Go ahead.
For which of you, intending to build a tower, sitteth not down first and counteth the cost, whether he has sufficient to finish it?
That's why we don't just take somebody and baptize them when they come into a congregation and they want to get baptized. We teach them first. We make sure they understand what they're getting into when they get baptized. Because if they feel they can't bear that, we're not going to force them into it. Go ahead, brother.
Verse 29. Lest haply, after he hath laid the foundation and is not able to finish it, all that behold it began to mock.
Go ahead.
Saying, this man began to build and was not able to finish.
Uh-huh.
Or what king, going to make war against another king, sitteth not down first and consulteth whether he be able with 10,000 to meet him that cometh against him with 20,000?
Uh-huh.
Or else, while the other is yet a great way off, he sendeth an ambassage and desireth conditions of peace.
In other words, you got this big force coming against you, 2, 3, 4 times the amount of what you got. You're not going to go out there like a tough guy. Yeah, oh yeah, come on, we'll see. No, you're going to try to make peace because you know you're about to get your head knocked. So you're going to think about these things first. You're going to think about whether or not you can do this, just like the building of a house. I'm not going to start off with $200 and get a bunch of 2x4s, not knowing how I'm going to be able to put it on the roof and build the walls and do the electric and the plumbing and everything else. I'd be an imbecile to start building a house without knowing I can finish it. The same thing with the Lord. He's telling you, think about this. You don't just jump into serving him. You got to think about this because these conditions have to be met. Go ahead, brother.
So likewise, whosoever he be of you that forsaketh not all that he hath, he cannot be my disciple.
Yes, sir. Go ahead.
Salt is good, but if the salt hath lost its savor, wherewith shall it be seasoned?
And aren't we the salt of the earth? And we're supposed to be that beacon, that bright light that shines. Go ahead, brother.
Verse 35. It is neither fit for the land, nor yet for the dunghill. But men cast it out. He that hath ears to hear, let him hear.
And that salt, if it's us and we're not good and we lose our savor, that's the second death. That's the second death. Let's go to Isaiah, the 64th chapter. Isaiah, the 64th chapter. Isaiah 64. Isaiah 64. And, brother, let's pick this up at verse 1. Isaiah 64 and verse 1. Remember, this is we got that mirror up in front of us. Does this reflect us when we look into this mirror? Because this is supposed to be us. Isaiah 64 and verse 1. Go ahead, brother.
Oh, that thou wouldest rend the heaven, that thou wouldest come down, that the mountains might flow down at thy presence.
Uh-huh.
As when the melting fire burneth, the fire causeth the waters to boil, to make thy name known to thine adversaries, that the nations may tremble at thy presence.
This is the power of this mighty God. This is the power of this mighty God. Look at that. Makes the nations tremble. Go ahead, brother.
Verse 4. For since the beginning of the world, men have not heard, nor perceived by the ear, neither hath the eyes seen, O God, beside thee, what he hath prepared for him that waiteth for him.
And since the beginning of the world, men have not heard nor perceived by the ear, neither have the eyes seen what God has waiting for us. Those of us that earnestly seek him. Go ahead, brother.
Thou meetest him that rejoiceth and worketh righteousness. Those that remember thee in thy days, behold, thou art wroth. For we have sinned, and those is continuance, and we shall be saved.
He meeteth him that rejoiceth and worketh righteousness, those that remember him in his ways. Behold, he's still wroth, for we have sinned. And in sinning, we're going to continue to sin and fall short, even after we come to him. We can't get away from that. We can't get away from sinning. We're going to fall short, even though it's not intentional. We're still going to fall short. So when sinning, there is continuance. But we still shall be saved. Go ahead, brother.
But we are all as an unclean thing, and all our righteousnesses are as filthy rags. And we all do fade as the leaf, and our iniquities, like the wind, have taken us away.
And we have to keep this in mind, that we are all unclean things, and our righteousness is all like filthy rags. Because even though we've repented and we've gotten baptized and we're walking and we're doing the things that are straight and right in the sight of the Lord, we're going to continue to sin and fall short. And our righteousness on our own is like a filthy rag. That's why we have to come under that shed blood of Messiah, of Christ Jesus. Because the Father's not looking at you and I, sisters and brothers. The Father is looking at the sacrifice, that pure 100% righteous sacrifice of Christ Jesus. And all he's looking at is that blood. And if you don't come underneath that blood, he's not even regarding you. You're setting yourself up for the fire. So we got to keep in mind that our righteousness is like filthy rags. Our iniquities like the wind have taken us away. Go ahead, brother. Verse 7.
And there is none that calleth upon thy name that stirreth up himself to take hold on thee. For thou hast hid thy face from us and hast consumed us because of our iniquities.
And there is nobody that can just come up and just talk to the Lord when he wants to. Hey, God, come here. I need to talk to you. There's none that calleth upon the Lord's name that stirs himself up to take hold of him. For the Lord has hid his face from us. Our iniquities have blocked us from God. And it's true now, even when we fall short. I'm seeing a lot of things about the way the husband and wife are supposed to act. And the husband, when he's not acting right toward the wife, his prayers are even blocked. We got to keep this in mind, sisters and brothers. We're not even worthy to call upon the name of the Lord. But yet he regards us. He calls us his friend, his servants and his friend. And he doesn't want any of us to perish. And he's so patient with us. And look at this power that can just do away with us. Absolute pure holiness and righteousness. And this is supposed to be us. We're supposed to be mirroring this to the best of our ability, keeping in mind that our own righteousness is nothing. We have to come under that shed blood of Messiah. Tell us where you're at and go ahead, brother.
Verse 8.
Yes, sir.
But now, O Lord, thou art our Father. We are the clay, and thou art the potter. And we all are the work of thy hand.
And this is the mindset we are supposed to have. Tell us what you would have us do, Lord, for your servant hears, and I'm going to go run and do it then. We're the potter. Our Heavenly Father, we are the clay, and he is the potter. And we are the work of his hands. When he's spinning that wheel, whatever he wants to form us to be, my son, my daughter, go here. Yes, Lord. That should be the response. Go ahead, brother. One more verse.
Verse 9.
Yes.
Be not wroth very sore, O Lord. Neither remember iniquity forever. Behold, see, we beseech thee. We are all thy people.
And we are all thy people, Lord. That's why we're examining ourselves. And that's why we're in the midst of the feast. That's why some of us have already completed the feast. That's why some of us are looking forward to the feast. Because we are all your people, Lord, and we're all just trying to do the very best that we can. And this is supposed to be us. This is our response. We hate all false doctrine. And whatever comes out of the word of the Lord, yes, Lord, what would you have us do next? Trying to be absolute pure holiness and righteousness just like he is. Let's go to Psalm 55. Psalm 55. Brother, pick it up in verse 12. 55 and verse 12. Go ahead.
Verse 12. For it was not an enemy that reproached me, I could have borne it. Neither was it he that hated me that did magnify himself against me. Then I would have hid myself.
This is talking about our Messiah, talking about who's the one that actually sealed his death sentence. Go ahead, brother.
Verse 13. But it was thou, a man, mine equal, my guide, and mine acquaintance. We took sweet counsel together and walked into the house of God in company.
It says, we took sweet counsel together and we walked unto the house of God in company. An absolute pure holiness is the only thing that inhabits heaven. The angels got crazy. Iniquity was found in Satan. He was cast out. Only absolute pure holiness and righteousness is allowed in heaven. And look at this. This is our Messiah talking about how he took sweet counsel with our Heavenly Father. Let's go to Isaiah, the 40th chapter. This is absolute pure holiness, and this is what we are supposed to be bringing ourselves to be. Isaiah, the 40th chapter. Isaiah 40. Isaiah 40. Isaiah 40. Pick it up at verse 25, brother. 40 and 25. Go ahead.
To whom then will ye liken me? Or shall I be equal? Saith the Holy One.
And that's a good question. To whom shall you liken him? Or to whom will our Creator be equal? To who? Only to one. To our Heavenly Father. Go ahead, brother.
Verse 26.
Go ahead.
Lift up your eyes on high, and behold, who hath created these things, and hath bringeth out their hosts by number. He calleth them all by names, by the greatness of his might, for that he is strong in power, not one faileth.
Yes, sir, go ahead.
Why sayest thou, O Jacob, and speakest, O Israel, my way is hid from me, or from the Lord, and my judgment is passed over from my God. Hast thou not known? Hast thou not heard that the everlasting God, the Lord, the creator of the ends of the earth, fainteth not, neither is weary? There is no searching of his understanding.
Hast thou not known? Hast thou not heard that the everlasting God, the Lord, the creator of the ends of the earth, fainteth not, neither is weary? There is no searching of his understanding. Look at this power. Look at this absolute righteousness. Go ahead, brother. Verse 29.
He giveth power to the faint, and to them that have no might, he increaseth strength.
He giveth power to the faint, and to them that have no might, he increaseth strength. Other verses tell you, cast all your cares upon him. You're seeking for wisdom, cast your cares upon him. Ask our Heavenly Father, who giveth to all liberally. All good things come from our Heavenly Father above. All kinds of precepts rolled into this here, sisters and brothers. Look at this power that is given us. He giveth power to the faint, and to them that have no might, increase his strength. But we know he only gives power to his servants, to those that serve him, those that try to mimic him and be absolute pure holiness and righteousness. Without taking a look back at your actions, there's no way you can even come close to the mindset to try to achieve this, let alone try to put this into practice. Go ahead and continue, brother.
Verse 30.
Yes, sir.
Even the youth shall faint and be weary, and the young men shall utterly fall.
Even the youth shall faint and be weary, and the young men shall utterly fall. This is a total lack of power. We got to have this power, though. That's why we're examining ourselves, so that we can keep continuing to tap into the strength. Because this strength for a servant of God, for those that are called, this is our life force, this power that we get from our God. Go ahead and continue, brother.
Verse 31.
Yes, sir.
But they that wait upon the Lord shall renew their strength. They shall mount up with wings as eagles.
See,
shall run.
They that wait upon the Lord shall renew their strength. They that wait upon the Lord shall renew their strength. This is why we're constantly taking a look at ourselves. We've examined ourselves already. We knew the Passover was coming. We took a look at ourselves. We took a look in the mirror. And that mirror that we were looking into was the standards of God. Now we're continuing to move forward. We're in the Passover. We've taken the Passover. We've already had the Passover, or we're taking the Passover, or we're looking forward to taking the Passover. But we've looked at ourselves. We've examined ourselves to the best of our ability. We've determined that we're walking straight to the best of our ability. We've asked the Lord to examine us. Now we're praying and meditating on it. We're reflecting in that mirror, those standards still being the reflection that we're looking at. We have ways that we're supposed to walk. And now we're looking at absolute pure holiness and righteousness. And those of us that strive to continue to serve him, he is going to renew and strengthen us. Go ahead, brother. Finish that verse.
They shall run and not be weary, and they shall walk and not faint.
Because the Lord is going to be the one that renews us. This absolute pure righteousness is what we're tapping into. Let's go to Hebrews, the fourth chapter. Hebrews, the fourth chapter. Hebrews 4. Hebrews 4. And brother, we're going to pick it up in verse 14. Hebrews 4 and verse 14. When you get there, go ahead.
Hebrews what?
Hebrews 4 and verse 14.
Seeing then that we have a great high priest that is passed into the heavens, Jesus, the Son of God, let us hold fast our profession.
This is our high priest. We know this, our Messiah, who's passed in, seated at the right hand of our Heavenly Father. He's passed into the heavens, into that heavenly tabernacle. Go ahead, brother.
For we have not an high priest, which cannot be touched with the feeling of our infirmities, but was in all points tempted like we are, yet without sin.
And this is that Holy One of Israel. This is that pure righteousness, that absolute pure holiness. Now, we just got done reading in Isaiah that he strengthens us. Well, when are we at our weakest, sisters and brothers? After we have fallen short in sin, and we're trying to come before him and ask for forgiveness. But check out this next verse. Go ahead, brother. Verse 16, go ahead.
Let us therefore come boldly unto the throne of grace, that we may obtain mercy and find grace to help in time of need.
That we may obtain mercy and find grace to help in the time of need. In other words, that he might strengthen us with his power. That he might strengthen us with his righteousness, with his holiness. Philippians, the second chapter. Philippians, the second chapter. Philippians 2. Philippians 2. And brother, let's pick this up at verse 5. Philippians 2 and verse 5. Go ahead.
Let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus.
Let this mind be in you that was also in Christ Jesus. This is the mind we're striving to have. This is what we're trying to mimic. Go ahead, brother.
Verse 6. Who being in the form of God thought it not robbery to be equal with God, made himself of no reputation and took it upon him the form of a servant and was made in the likeness of men.
Who made himself of no reputation? He could have came and said, all right, here I am, I'm God, listen. Well, who are you? Oh, you cast out these demons by Beelzebub. Nah, check it out, dudes. Hey, ladies, check it out, man, I'm God. No, he took on no reputation and took upon him the form of a servant. It was made in the likeness of man. Absolute pure holiness, righteousness, constant thought of others, and how he might help meet their needs. The great physician coming to heal the sick and the sinners. Coming as a minister, as a servant. He was God, and he's coming as a servant. Let's go to Job, the fourth chapter. Job, the fourth chapter. Job 4. Job 4, right before Psalms. Job 4. And let's pick it up at verse 17. Job 4, and brother, pick it up at 17. Go ahead.
Job 4.
Yes, sir.
I was in Job 40.
Job 4 and 17. When you get there, go ahead.
Behold, happy is the man whom God correcteth. Therefore, despise not thou.
4 and 17.
Oh, that's fine. Sorry.
That's okay. Go ahead.
Shall mortal man be more just than God?
Great question. Shall mortal man be more just than God? Go ahead.
Shall man be more pure than his maker?
And more pure than his maker? Who created man? God. Shall man be more just than God? More pure than his maker? Like Paul would say, God forbid. But go ahead, brother.
Behold, he put no trust in his servant, and his angels he changed. He charged with folly.
God put no trust in his servants, and his angels he charged with folly. His angels, those that are up there in heaven with him, he charged them with folly. So let's talk about us, mankind. Go ahead, brother.
How much less in them that dwell in houses of clay?
That's man. Go ahead.
Whose foundation is in the dust, which are crushed before the moth.
Go ahead, brother.
They are destroyed from morning to evening. They perish forever without any...
Destroyed from morning. People are dying left and right. They perish forever, and nobody regards it. Go ahead.
Does not their excellency, which is in them, go away?
Uh-huh.
They die even without wisdom.
Breath of life goes away. Heart stops beating. They die even without wisdom. No power whatsoever. We have to get our strength from God. We have to get our strength from that absolute pure holiness and righteousness. That's why the Lord tells us all the time he wants us to examine ourselves. Let's go to 2 Corinthians, the 13th chapter. 2 Corinthians 13. 2 Corinthians 13. And we're going to read one verse, 13 and 5, brother. When you get there, go ahead. 2 Corinthians 13 and 5, one verse.
Examine yourselves whether ye be in the faith. Prove your own selves. Know ye not your own selves how that Jesus is in you, except ye be reprobate?
If Jesus Christ is not in you, you would be reprobate. Examine yourselves whether ye be in the faith. Prove your own selves. Know ye not your own selves how that Jesus Christ is in you. The Lord's telling us to examine ourselves because we need that power. We need that strength. And we understand as servants of God that the Lord doesn't hear the prayers of the wicked. So we're looking to see if there's any wickedness or lawlessness in us. We're examining ourselves. Let's go to Revelation, the second chapter. Revelation, the second chapter. Revelation 2. Here's the angel speaking to the churches. The Spirit of the Lord speaking to the churches. And what the Lord is speaking to the churches in Revelation, every bit of it's good for us today. 2 Revelation 2. Revelation 2. And I'm not going to get into debate upon which church is what church and who's what and who's where and what and all that good stuff. And what I could classify as endless genealogies. Let's just look at what the Lord is saying to us. Revelation 2, pick it up at verse 1, brother. 2 and 1. Go ahead.
Unto the angel of the church of Ephesus, these things saith he that holdeth seven stars in his right hand, who walketh in the midst of the seven golden candlesticks.
Go ahead, brother.
I know thy works, and thy labor, and thy patience, and how thou canst not bear them which are evil. And thou hast tried them which say they are apostles and are not, and hast found them liars.
So now they're actually examining themselves. They're examining the church.
Go ahead, brother. And hast borne, and hast patience, and for my name's sake hast labored, and hath not fainted.
The Lord sees everything. We won't get into it, but those seven stars in his right hand and them seven golden candlesticks, that's all part of the seven angels that go to and fro and report back to him. Go ahead and continue, brother.
Nevertheless, I have somewhat against thee, because thou hast left thy first love.
But he says he knows all this that we have, the patience, and how cannot bear that which is evil and all this, and how we've tried apostles that say they are and they're not. We found them liars, and and has borne and has patience for his namesake and labored and not fainted and all. And man, this sounds like a perfect saint. But nevertheless, he says, I have somewhat against you because you've left your first love. Go ahead, brother.
Remember, therefore, from whence thou art fallen and repent and do the first work.
Remember, therefore, from where you have fallen and repent and turn back to those first works. Examine yourself. Examine yourself. This is daily. We're beyond the Passover, sisters and brothers. Or we've already done that knowing we're getting ready to take the Passover. Or we're in the middle of the Feast of Unleavened Bread. But we've already examined ourselves to see if we're worthy to take that body and blood of our Messiah. Now we're looking in the mirror on a daily basis. We're looking at those reflections. Does this bear our reflection? Have we left our first love? Do we need to return to that zeal we first had? Is Jesus Christ everything? Is he the center of all our focus on a daily basis? Or do we still get entrapped in the world on a regular basis? Because if we're still putting a foot in the world and getting entrapped in the world and going even an hour or two where we're not thinking about God and we're just in the world and all of a sudden we catch ourselves being worldly, we're not being sober and vigilant. It's a 365-day, 24/7 thing, fearing God and keeping his commandments. It's a lifestyle. It's not just an emotion that comes on you. Because if it's not a lifestyle and you're not striving for it to be a 365, 24/7, you're not going to have any shot at the kingdom. You can't be willy-nilly and come to the Lord. You can't be lukewarm. Are you done with verse 7, brother?
No, I haven't even finished.
I'm sorry. Go ahead and finish that. I messed up. It's my first time in 2 weeks. Go ahead, brother.
Or else I will come unto thee quickly and will remove thy candlestick out of this place, except thou repent.
Except thou repent. Go ahead.
But this thou hast, that thou hatest the deeds of the Nicolaitans, which I also hate.
Now, you notice the Lord all over the Bible, you're going to see the Lord hates wickedness. The Lord hates those that are wicked. The Lord hates those that are lawless. But look what he says to us. We're not supposed to hate the Nicolaitans, and we don't. He says, thou hast that thou hatest the deeds of the Nicolaitans, which I also hate. Because our job is to try to recover the Nicolaitans. That's some of the things we're reflecting on in the mirror as some standards are in front of us. Are we going after those that would be considered Nicolaitans? Or are we deciding in our hearts that we hate them and want nothing to do with them? Oh, the Lord don't say, hate the sin, not the sinner. Yes, he does. Yes, he does, all over the book. The Lord's prerogative is to hate because he's God. It'll be your prerogative to hate when you meet him in the clouds and you're coming back down to take that kingdom by force. Until then, you are to love even your enemy. Go ahead and continue, brother.
Verse 7. He that hath an ear, let him hear what the Spirit saith unto the churches. To him that overcometh will I give to eat of the tree of life,
to him,
in the midst of the paradise of God.
To him that overcometh will he give the opportunity to talk to our God to find out how to live forever. Skip to 19 and continue, brother.
I know thy works in charity and service and faith and thy patience and thy works, and the last to be more than the first.
The last to be more than the first. Oh, don't, he didn't leave his first love too, did he? Go ahead, brother.
Notwithstanding, I have a few things against thee, because thou sufferest that woman Jezebel, which calleth herself a prophetess, to teach and to seduce my servants to commit fornication, and to eat things sacrificed unto idols.
Uh-huh.
And I gave her space to repent of her fornication. She repented not.
The Lord gave Jezebel space to repent? How much more you as a servant of God that is striving to do the things that are right in his eyes when you fall short and repent? Yeah, we all beat ourselves up, but you got to remember that the Lord is ever merciful and he's there willing to forgive you. He was willing to forgive Jezebel, who wasn't his servant, who persecuted his prophet. How much more is the Lord going to forgive you when you're earnestly trying to walk that way and turn to him? We got to remember sometimes, sisters and brothers, when we're looking in that mirror and we're repenting, not to be too hard on ourselves. I'm not saying be soft. I'm just saying there's a reasonable amount of beating that you put on yourself. Go ahead, brother, and continue.
Behold, I will cast her into a bed, and them that commit adultery with her into a great tribulation, except they repent of their deeds.
Yes, sir. Go ahead.
And I will kill her children with death. And all the churches shall know that I am he which searcheth the reins and hearts, and I will give unto every one of you according to your work.
Yes, sir. Go ahead, brother.
But unto you I say, and unto the rest in Thyatira, as many as have not this doctrine, and which have not known the depths of Satan as they speak, I will put upon you none other burden.
I will put upon you no other burden. And the Lord says that he sanctified armies like from the north and whatnot. Sanctified. He set them apart. They were his. And he's saying here he'll put no other burden on this church. There's a lot of times, there's a lot of people we're trying to share some scripture with, and we just don't understand that the Lord's closed their eyes and shut their ears because he's got them right where he wants them. Maybe they couldn't bear to know the truth. They fall away from him. Or maybe the Lord's just got them right. He's comfortable with having them there because they're filled with love and compassion. And they can help his servants along the way. Whatever it is, if they profess Christ Jesus, they're your brother and sister according to the book. But that's for another lesson. That's for another lesson. Doesn't matter what day they go to worship on. It doesn't matter what doctrine they've taken a hold of. Maybe the Lord has them blinded. It's our job to bring them the truth, absolutely. But if they're not able to bear the truth, if they reject it, how do we know how they're rejecting it? We can't see through to the heart. Little things that jump out at us in the scriptures, little tiny things that the Lord says, you can't bear anymore. Go ahead, brother.
Verse 25, But that which ye have already, hold fast till I come.
But that which you have already, hold fast till I come. Of course, as someone that is called, every time you take hold of something that the Lord says to do, and you do it, he's going to open your heart a little bit more to more things. But remember, sisters and brothers, there's a spirit that we have to have. And that's what we're checking right here in these reflections in the mirror. We're checking his standards, and we're checking our spirit. Go ahead, brother.
And he that overcometh and keepeth my works unto the end, to him will I give power over the nations.
To him will I give power over the nations. Go ahead, brother.
And he shall rule them with a rod of iron. As the vessels of a potter shall they be broken into shivers, even as I received of my Father.
Now, didn't we hear that God was the one that molds us, that we are the clay? But yet, at the appointed time, if we strive to do what's pleasing in his sight, we're checking ourselves constantly, staying straight, because we have to do that. We don't know the day or the time or the hour that our master's going to return. He's going to give us this great power to rule the nations. We're going to be a potter just like he is to us, to the other nations. Let's go to Revelation, the third chapter. Revelation 3. Revelation 3. And, brother, pick it right up in verse 2. Revelation 3 and 2. Go ahead.
Be watchful and strengthen the things which remain that are ready to die, for I have not found that works perfect before God.
In other words, you better be checking yourself. You better be taking a good look at yourself. You better be examining yourself so that you can see. Be watchful and strengthen the things which remain that are ready to die. If you're examining yourself and you see a part of you that's righteous, that's getting ready to die, you can take those corrective measures. But if you're not examining yourself on a regular basis, you're not checking those reflections in the mirror, you'll never see it. Go ahead, brother.
Remember, therefore, how thou hast received and heard, and hold fast and repent. If therefore thou shalt not watch, I will come on thee as a thief, and thou shalt not know what hour I will come upon thee.
If you don't watch, I will come upon you as a thief. Watching is examining yourself on a regular basis, daily, sisters and brothers. Go ahead.
Thou hast a few names. Verse 4. Thou hast a few names even in Sardis, which have not defiled their garments, and they shall walk with me in white, for they are worthy.
Go ahead, brother.
He that overcometh, the same shall be clothed in white raiment, and I will not blot out his name out of the book of life, but I will confess his name before my Father and before his angels.
He that overcometh. How do you overcome, sisters and brothers? You do that by your walk, by keeping your walk straight, keeping yourself pleasing in the sight of God. If you're not examining yourself on a regular basis, checking them reflections in the mirror, you'll never keep yourself right. The Lord says you got to be sober and vigilant. You got to always be watching. Skip the verse 10 and continue, brother.
Because thou hast kept the word of my patience, I also will keep thee from the hour of temptation, which shall come upon all the world, to try them and dwell upon the earth.
Because you have kept the word of my patience, that hour of temptation is a great tribulation. Go ahead, brother.
Behold, I come quickly. Hold that fast which thou hast, and no man take thy crown.
And our Messiah, Christ Jesus, says, behold, I come quickly. You better hold fast to what you have, that no man take your crown. Remember this. We're going to deal with this in a minute. Go ahead, brother.
Verse 11. Verse 12.
Yes, sir.
Him that overcometh will I make a pillar in the temple of my God.
You're going to be a pillar in the temple of his God, because the pillar never leaves the temple. You're going to live and dwell in him forever. Go ahead, brother.
And he shall go no more out. And I will write upon him the name of my God.
And he's going to write the name of God upon him. Go ahead.
In the name of the city of my God, which is New Jerusalem.
And the name of New Jerusalem, go ahead.
Which cometh down out of heaven from my God.
Uh-huh.
And I will write upon him my new name.
And he's going to write his new name upon us. This is the only time that the Lord talks definitively about a name, and he hasn't given it yet. All this contention about names. This time of year, all the contention about the calendar, the moon that you use. Sister asked me a couple weeks ago about how the new moon could be the full moon. All I did was show her the lesson on how I see the new moon's a full moon. I never turned around and started beating on her and started talking, oh, well, what about this, that, or her? Did you look at it? What do you think? Oh, let me show. No. She asked me. I gave it to her. She didn't have any questions. She either saw it or she didn't see it. It was edifying, or it confirmed how she keeps it. Because when it comes to all that stuff, it's not clear, names, the way you keep the calendar and all that. Put that mirror up, sisters and brothers. I seen one brother talking about praying for people that don't keep the feast the way he does, because he's right. That's wickedness, sisters and brothers. You're going to pray for people that don't keep the feast the way you keep it when you don't have any solid scriptures that show you that you're absolute. When there's three or four different ways to calculate the calendar, three different moons you can use as the new moon, the only scripture that the Lord gives is a scripture in Psalm that calls it full moon, and you got to go to the translation to figure that out. Or one of the lesser-known English translations that is not divinely inspired that have the proper translation in that particular verse. But that's just a bunch of confusion. If the Lord knew exactly how to do it, or I should say if the Lord wanted you to know exactly how to do it, it would be crystal clear. It would be as crystal clear as the whole duty of man. Fear God and keep his commandments. Got to guard against these things like that false pride. That false pride that comes in. If it was absolute, every class would be on board. Just like they're all on board about the covenant being the Ten Commandments. That you can't be saved by the works. But that when you come to see, when you check yourself, and you see you've been going against the commandments of God, and in order to live forever, you need to go with the commandments of God. You adjust your walk and you do it. And every class is online with that. Those are the absolutes. These other things that I consider the useless genealogies, the stuff that don't mean nothing that you're going to argue and fight over, that you're going to have hard feelings over, that you're going to belittle people over, that you're going to sow discord and cause division. Those are the things that we're looking in this mirror. Is that mirror reflecting us? Those standards of our God? The spirit that he tells us to conduct ourselves in? Is that us? Or are we back into the world? Are we falling back into false pride and ego? Let's go to 1 Peter the 14th chapter. 1 Peter the 14th chapter. The Lord told us in 1 Corinthians 11 chapter to examine ourselves. To examine ourselves before the Passover. And we've all done that. Let's see where examination starts. 1 Peter 4. 1 Peter 4, brother, one verse. 1 Peter 4, verse 17. Go ahead.
For the time has come that judgment must begin at the house of God. And if it first begin at us, what shall the end be of them that obey not the gospel of God?
The time has come that judgment must begin at the house of God. The first thing the Lord says to do is check yourself. You check yourself first. Now you go to the church. And righteous judgment is a way of keeping the church straight. Righteous judgment reflects putting God's standards up and looking for that reflection in the mirror to see if we reflect them standards. The same thing with the church. It starts with us. It carries over into the church. Let's go to Lamentations, the third chapter. Lamentations 3. Lamentations 3. Lamentations 3. I never find this book. Here it is. Lamentations 3. And brother, let's pick it up at verse 40. 3 and 40. Right after Jeremiah. Lamentations 3. And when you get there, you're going to pick it up at verse 40. 3 and verse 40, brother.
3 and verse 40.
Yes, sir. Go ahead.
Let us search and try our ways and turn again unto the Lord. Let us lift up our heart with our hands unto God in the heavens.
Let us search and try our ways and turn again to the Lord. So we're searching. We're looking at that reflection in the mirror. We're trying our ways. Is it pleasing to our God? And if it's not, we're turning again to the Lord, just like he said to do to the churches in Revelation. Those messages are for us. So we're constantly checking those reflections in the mirror. Constantly, constantly. Let's go to 1 Timothy, the fourth chapter. 1 Timothy 4. 1 Timothy 4. I know, Jeremy, I talked a little too much tonight, but we're not going to cut too much more out of it. I already cut a bunch of scripts out of it. 1 Timothy 4. I do that sometimes. I talk too much. I'd rather read too much. 1 Timothy 4. And brother, pick it up at 13. 4 and 13. Go ahead.
Till I come, give attendance to reading, to exhortation, to doctrine. Neglect not the gift that is in thee, which was given to thee by prophecy, with the laying on the hand of the presbytery.
So now, till I come, give attendance to reading, exhortation, to doctrine. Doesn't matter till Paul comes. We're supposed to be doing this till Messiah comes, or we get laid down to sleep. Get ready to take that big nap before he comes. Go ahead, brother.
Verse 15, meditate upon these things. Give thyself wholly to them, and thy profiting may appear to all.
Meditate upon these things, and give thyself wholly to them. You're going to meditate on it, and you're going to turn if you see that reflection in the mirror is not reflecting the walk of our Messiah. So you're going to respond. You're going to meditate, then you're going to respond. You're going to give yourself wholly to them, that the profiting may appear to all. Go ahead, brother.
Verse 16, take heed unto thyself and unto the doctrine. Continue in them.
Take heed unto yourself and unto the doctrine and continue in them. How do you continue in them if you're not checking yourself to see if you're walking in them to begin with? Daily. Go ahead, brother.
For in doing this, thou shalt save thyself and them that hear me.
You're going to save both yourself and those that hear you. So you're going to meditate, and then you're going to respond on the meditation of your heart. Because to meditate, you're contemplating the Word of God. Let's go to Psalm 139. Psalm 139. 139. Psalm 139. And brother, pick it up at 23. 139 and 23. Go ahead.
Oh, 139?
Yes, sir.
I was going to 30.
139 and verse 23.
Search me, O God, and know my heart. Try me and know my thoughts. And see if there be any wicked way in me, and lead me in the way everlasting.
So we're meditating on God's precepts. We're reflecting in the mirror. We're seeing where we're falling short. We're responding what we're getting out of meditation. And we're asking the Lord to search our hearts and to try our thoughts and see if there's any wickedness in us. And we're asking him to lead and guide our hearts, to give us that strength that we're seeking, absolute, pure, holy power. Let's go to Jeremiah, the 17th chapter. Jeremiah 17. Jeremiah 17. Jeremiah 17. And brother, pick it up in verse 9. 17 and 9. Go ahead.
The heart is deceitful above all things and desperately wicked. Who can know it?
Uh-huh.
I, the Lord, search the heart and try the reins, even to give mercy, or even to give every man according to his ways and according to the fruits of his doing.
And mercy is one of the things he gives. Hopefully we're in line to receive that mercy. But now we're going to meditate. We're going to respond to what we're seeing in meditation. And we know that the Lord is the one that searches the hearts. So we're going to even ask him to search us and to try us. Because the heart is deceitful above all things and desperately wicked. But the Lord searches the hearts and tries the reins. And we're going to ask him to lead us and guide us. Lord, is there anything else that's in me that I don't see? And we do this daily, sisters and brothers, because there's some good news in this. Let's go to Ezekiel, the 18th chapter. Ezekiel, the 18th chapter. Ezekiel 18. Ezekiel 18. And brother, let's pick it up in verse 19. Ezekiel 18 and verse 19. We're asking the Lord, we're praying, we're meditating, we're searching, we're seeking, we're examining ourselves, we're looking for that reflection in the mirror constantly. constantly. Ezekiel 18, and look what the Lord says. Verse 19. Go ahead, brother.
What say ye? Why? Does not the Son bear the iniquity of the Father? When the Son hath done that which is lawful and right, and hath kept all my statutes, and hath done them, he shall surely live.
Okay, go ahead, brother.
The soul that sinneth, it shall die.
The soul that sinneth, it shall die. Go ahead.
The Son shall not bear the iniquity of the Father, neither shall the Father bear the iniquity of the Son. The righteousness of the righteous shall be upon him, and the wickedness of the wicked shall be upon him.
Stop right there. Pick up that mirror. Let's look at that reflection. Let's look at the example of Jesus on the cross, cussing the people out as they're casting lots for his garments. Oh, wait a minute. That never happened. He never uttered a sound. In fact, he asked our Heavenly Father to forgive them, for they knew not what he did, what they were doing. But yet when somebody does us wrong, when somebody does some crazy thing to us, what's the first things we do? We start pointing fingers. We start pointing fingers and we start, if it wasn't for what they did, I would have never snapped, or I would have never, it's all because of them. Oh, if she would only, or if he would only, or if the children, I wouldn't lose it in that. No, sisters and brothers. The sins of the Father are going to be on the Father, and the sins of the Son are on him, and the finger pointing doesn't matter. Because if somebody's doing something and they provoke you, yes, the Lord is watching what they do. But more importantly, the Lord's going to deal with that. But the first thing he's doing, he's looking at his servant saying, how are you going to respond, my son? Are you going to be salt? Are you going to be a light? Or are you going to render evil for evil? That's the hardest thing as a servant of God to try to keep in your heart. When someone's actually doing you wrong, to watch your mouth and guard your heart. Be slow to speak, slow to wrath, be swift to hear. It's almost impossible sometimes to do, but it's required. Why? Because nobody can take your crown. In fact, our Messiah warned us to not let anybody take our crown. If we're being sober and vigilant, and we're trying to have our Messiah, the central most focus of our day and everything we do, how would Jesus react? And what would Jesus do? Ain't nothing wrong with that question. You get ready to react, what would Jesus do? Pray for that quick pause to evaluate the situation, because God will give you that quick pause. And he'll let you examine that situation at the snap of a hand, of a finger. But you got to work at that. You got to pray on that. You got to put that reflection in the mirror and make it yours. You see the way Messiah would walk. How are you going to respond? Tell us where you're at and continue, brother.
Verse 21.
Go ahead.
But if the wicked will turn from all his sins that he hath committed and keep all my statutes and do that which is lawful and right, he shall surely live. He shall not die.
So that guy, that your son, your daughter, your wife, your husband, your mother, your father, or the next door neighbor that's just always continually getting under your skin and making you do things. Nobody makes you do anything. Nobody makes you do anything. Nobody can take your crown from you. Our Messiah said it like that, but only you can lose your own crown. So if the wicked man, the one that's always railing on you, sees the light and turns from his wickedness, even he can have salvation. You're going to let that wicked man take your crown and then gain his life? Go ahead and continue, brother.
Verse 22.
Yes, sir.
All his transgressions that he hath committed, they shall not be mentioned unto him. In his righteousness that he hath done, he shall live.
Go ahead, brother.
Have I any pleasure at all that the wicked should die?
Absolutely not. Go ahead.
Saith the Lord God, and not that he should return from his ways and live.
Uh-huh. So now the wicked guy that's provoking you, he's repenting and he's turning to the kingdom. Now let's look at the righteous man that's getting persecuted. Go ahead, brother.
Verse 24.
Yes, sir.
But when the righteous turneth away from his righteousness and committeth iniquity.
And that's the thing we don't want to do. If we're righteous, we don't want to turn away from that righteousness. And we don't want to commit iniquity. That's why we've got that reflection in the mirror. We've always got that mirror up. And we've got Christ Jesus in that mirror. And we're seeing, is that our reflection? Is our Messiah our reflection? Is our light shining and our salt, is it savorful or has it lost its savor? Go ahead, brother.
And doeth according to all the abominations that the wicked man doeth, shall he live?
Uh-huh.
All his righteousness that he hath done shall not be mentioned. In his trespass that he hath trespassed, and in his sin that he hath sinned, in them shall he die.
See, it's the Lord is the Lord of what have you done for me lately, not what have you done for me 5 months ago. You must endure until the end. Go ahead, brother.
Verse 25, yet ye say, that way of the Lord is not equal. Hear now, O house of Israel, is not my way equal? Are your ways not are not your ways unequal?
Go ahead, brother.
When a righteous man turneth away from his righteousness and committeth iniquity and dieth in them, for his iniquity that he hath done shall he die.
See, this is why we're examining ourselves constantly. Constantly. The Passover is an overall looking back. But the daily reflections in the mirror is what we must be doing. Go ahead, brother.
Verse 27. Again, when the wicked man turneth away from his wickedness that he hath committed and doeth that which is lawful and right, he shall save his soul alive.
Uh-huh.
Because he considereth and turneth away from all his transgressions that he hath committed, he shall surely live. He shall not die.
And this is all of us, sisters and brothers, because we consider and turneth away from all our transgressions that we have committed, we shall live and not die. The Lord is watching us. Walking perfect before him is also what happens when you fall short. The Lord is constantly watching us. He wants us to constantly reflect and cast our cares upon him. It's only in examining ourselves constantly that we see where we're falling short. It's only by examining ourselves constantly that we see the needs that need work, the areas that need work, and we can come before our God and cast our cares upon him. Let's go to Galatians, the 6th chapter. Got to keep yourself straight, sisters and brothers. And stop pointing fingers. We need to take responsibilities for our own actions. That's why we're looking in that mirror all the time. Because if we keep ourselves straight, then we can do this. Galatians 6, and brother, pick it up in verse 1. 6:1, go ahead.
Brethren, if a man be overtaken in a fault, ye which are spiritual, restore such an one in the spirit of meekness, considering thyself, lest thou also be tempted.
But you can't be spiritual if a man be overtaken in a fault. Ye which are spiritual, you can't be spiritual if you're not constantly examining yourself and keeping yourself in that right walk, not running the race the right way, pleasing in the sight of our God. Without that, you're not spiritual. So you can't really be of help to others without keeping yourself straight and without examining yourself constantly. But our job is to be of help to others, to let our light shine, to be that salt. That's our job. And if we're not straight, we can't do our job. Go ahead and continue, brother.
Bear ye one another's burden, and so fulfill the law of Christ.
Because that fulfills the law of Christ. You which are spiritual, restore such a one in meekness, considering yourself lest you be tempted. And bear one another's burdens and fulfill the law of Christ. If you're not straight, you're going against the law no matter how many Sabbaths you sit in and no matter how many Passovers you take and how many feasts you keep. How many 7 days you don't eat leavened bread and you eat unleavened bread? None of that will matter if you're not straight. Go ahead, brother.
For if a man think himself to be something when he is nothing, he deceiveth himself.
Don't deceive yourself, sisters and brothers. Go ahead.
But let every man prove his own work, and then shall he have rejoicing in himself alone and not in another.
Because if we don't prove our own work, we can't be of help to anybody. Let's go to Romans, the 12th chapter, because we want to remember this. Romans 12, and we'll read one verse here. Romans the 12th chapter. And brother, when you get there, read one verse for us, this reminder, verse 3. 12 and 3. Go ahead.
For I say, though the grace be given unto me, to every man that is among you, think to not to think of himself more highly than he ought to think, but to think soberly according as God hath dealt to every man the measure of faith.
Don't get puffed up. Don't think you're something special because you've got a little bit of understanding. That understanding is supposed to be used to bring others to God. Let's go to Psalm, the 19th chapter. Psalm 19, yeah, a little bit long tonight for me. I know everybody doesn't really mind, but that's why I'm not trying to rush this. I took a lot out already, as Sister Raelia probably already knows. Psalm 19. We're filthy rags, sisters and brothers, so we got work we got to do. Psalm 19, and pick it up in verse 12, brother. 19 and 12. Go ahead.
Who can understand his errors? Cleanse not me from secret faults.
Because I'm looking in the mirror, and I'm reflecting, and I'm seeing I'm walking the best I can, so I'm going to ask the Lord to help me. Help me with them secret faults. Cleanse me from them. Go ahead, brother.
Verse 13. Keep back thy servant also from presumptuous sins. Let them not have dominion over me. Then shall I be upright, and I shall be innocent from the great transgression.
Uh-huh.
Verse 14. Let the words of my mouth and the meditation of my heart be acceptable in thy sight, O Lord, my strength and my redeemer.
Because what is it that you're supposed to be doing when you're meditating? You're looking at yourself. You're not always just begging the Lord for wisdom and knowledge and understanding. Oh, Lord, I can't figure this precept out. Please give it to me. Well, wait a minute, man. Check your walk. Are you walking straight? Maybe there's a reason you're not getting the revelation from God that you're seeking. What's your walk like? What are the words of the mouth and the meditation of your heart? Or do you even have any? Do you even get up or do you go to bed cracking the book? Or are you one of these people every Sabbath or every other day if you feel like it? There's days I get up in the morning I don't feel like reading, but I know what my God requires of me. And I push through those moments when my emotions are tugging on my mind or my heart. And then once I get past and I push through those and I settle down into his word, he establishes me and he settles me. Every time. So in those moments when I don't feel like moving forward and doing what's required of me, I push through those temptations. And then the Lord puts me at peace. And it's not just me. It's for all of us, sisters and brothers. But this is required. Let's go to Haggai, the first chapter. Haggai, the first chapter.
Jeez, it's been like 2 years since I've heard that book.
But we're going to break that spell right now, or that streak, I should say, not spell. We're going to break that streak right now. Haggai, the first chapter. And, brother, let's pick this up one verse, verse 7. But we're meditating on God's precepts. Remember what meditate means, sisters and brothers, to close or continued thought, the turning or revolving of a subject in the mind, serious contemplation. And we know when we're meditating to the Lord, we're meditating on his word, on scripture. Haggai 1 verse, brother, verse 7. Go ahead.
Thus saith the Lord of hosts, consider your ways.
Consider your ways. You got to look in the mirror to consider your ways. You got to reflect on the actions of our Messiah, on his walk, on his conversation, and see if we're mirroring that. We got to consider our ways, sisters and brothers. Let's go to Psalm 66. Psalm 66, one verse, brother. Verse 18. 66 and verse 18. Go ahead.
6 and 18.
Yes, sir.
If I regard iniquity in my heart, the Lord will not hear me.
We know he doesn't hear the words of sinners, but let's break this down a little bit here. The definition, one of the definitions, according to Webster's 1828 dictionary, one of the definitions for regard is to love and esteem, to practice. So if I love and esteem and practice iniquity in my heart, the Lord will not hear me. He does not hear the words of sinners, the prayers of sinners, sisters and brothers. That's why we're meditating. We're considering in our heart. We're guarding ourselves so we're not setting up these false idols. We're keeping our hearts straight. Go to Proverbs, the fourth chapter. Proverbs, the fourth chapter. We're meditating. We're considering. Are our actions pleasing to our God? Like that poem I mentioned a week or two back, a couple weeks back, whatever it was. That poem that I heard about, what if Jesus was coming to stay with you? What would you do? Would you have to put all your movies and magazines up and everything? Because, oh, well, this ain't righteous. Then you have to tell your friends you're going away for a while so certain people don't come by or whatever. Got to keep yourself straight with the Lord. What's pleasing in His sight? You get to a point where if the Messiah was coming over tomorrow, the only thing you'd have to do is vacuum and plan dinner. Is this keeping of our heart? Proverbs 4 and verse 23, brother. Go ahead.
Keep thy heart with all diligence, for out of it are the issues of life.
Keep your heart with all diligence, for out of it are the issues of life. We're looking in the mirror. We're seeing if our reflection mirrors our Messiah. And we're going to keep our heart. We're going to keep it. We're going to lead it, and we're going to guide it, and we're going to guard it. Go ahead, brother.
Put away from thee a froward mouth, and perverse lips put far from thee.
And the things that aren't pleasing to God, we're putting away, because what are we trying to do? We're trying to live by every word that proceedeth out of the mouth of God. And we're not leaning on our own understanding. Go ahead, brother.
And perverse lips put far from thee.
Uh-huh.
Let thine eyes look right on, and let thine eyelids look straight before thee.
When you're on a path, you're not looking to the right and the left. You're making sure you're not falling off that road. Go ahead, brother.
Verse 26, ponder the path of thy feet, and let all thy ways be established.
Ponder the path of thy feet. There's that examining again and considering. And let all your ways be established. Of course, in righteousness. Go ahead.
Verse 27, turn not to the right hand nor to the left. Remove thy foot from evil.
Yes, sir. Let's go to Deuteronomy, the 8th chapter. Deuteronomy, the 8th chapter. Deuteronomy 8. Because this is that power that we're trying to tap into. We're keeping the heart so we can tap into this power. Deuteronomy 8. Pick it up at verse 1, brother. 8 and 1. Go ahead.
Slowly.
It's there. The new Bible, them pages stick together. Go ahead, brother.
All the commandments which I have commanded thee this day shall ye observe to do, that ye may live and multiply and go in and possess the land which the Lord sware unto your fathers.
Uh-huh. Now look at this power that we're tapping into here, sisters and brothers. Go ahead.
And thou shalt remember all the way which the Lord thy God led thee these 40 years in the wilderness to humble thee and to prove thee.
To humble you and to prove you. Or us, not us, but Israel and the strangers in the wilderness. Go ahead, brother.
To know what was in thine heart, whether thou wouldest keep his commandments or no.
Uh-huh.
And he humbled thee and suffered thee to hunger and fed thee with manna, which thou knewest not, neither did thy fathers know, that he might make thee know that man doth not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceedeth out of the mouth of the Lord, this man liveth.
See, he's trying to train Israel and set them up to be his chosen people, to be that light, to be that salt. This is that job. This is that nation of priests, that holy nation, that kingdom of priests. This is the fruit of walking straight in God's sight. Go ahead, brother.
Verse 4, thy raiment waxed not old upon thee, neither did thy foot swell these 40 years.
Uh-huh.
Thou shalt also consider in thine heart that as a man chasteneth his son, so the Lord thy God chasteneth you. Therefore, thou shalt keep the commandments of the Lord thy God, to walk in his ways and to fear him.
Therefore, thou shalt keep the commandments of the Lord thy God, to walk in his ways and to fear him. Let's wrap this up. Let's go to Matthew, the 7th chapter. We're going to skip right over James here. Let's go to Matthew, the 7th chapter. Matthew 7. Hey, James, the 5th chapter in here. It's just showing obedience. It's showing repentance. It's showing examining yourself, considering yourself. Matthew 7. And brother, let's pick this up at verse 20. 7 and 20. This is what we do when we examine ourselves, when we take that look in the mirror to see if we reflect the reflection of our Messiah or not. 7 and 20. Go ahead, brother.
Wherefore, by their fruits ye shall know them.
Yes, sir. You're looking at your fruits, sisters and brothers. You're looking at your fruits compared to our Messiah's fruits. Do they line up with his? Go ahead, brother.
Not everyone that saith unto me, Lord, Lord, shall enter into the kingdom of heaven. But he that doeth the will of my Father, which is in heaven.
See, we don't want to be one of those with the empty words. Lord, Lord, oh, Lord, Lord, man, begone, you worker of iniquity. I never knew you. We don't want to hear that. That's why we're constantly examining ourselves. And it's all about obedience, sisters and brothers. Make no doubt about it. Want to be called a legalist, or they call us legalists or whatever, and when we obey God's commandments, then we're legalists. But we understand what the Lord said. He said we have fallen short. We have fallen away from his ways. We need to consider, examine ourselves, look at the way we're conducting ourselves, turn from the ways we're conducting ourselves, and do the things that are pleasing in his eyes so that he will want to take us and mold us and live with us forever. That's the gospel of our Messiah, cut and dry in a nutshell. Tell us where you're at and continue, brother.
Verse 22.
Yes, sir.
Many will say to me in that day, Lord, Lord, have we not prophesied in thy name? And in thy name have cast out devils, and in thy name done many wonderful works.
And some of these will be people that are preaching the truth and by appearance are conducting themselves according to the gospel of Christ Jesus. But the secret places, the Lord looks into the heart. And if you're not right in spirit, in word and in deed, this is what you'll hear. Go ahead, brother.
Verse 23, and then will I profess unto them, I never knew you. Depart from me, ye that work iniquity.
We don't want to hear that. That's why we're always checking our reflection in the mirror. Go ahead, brother.
Verse 24, therefore, whosoever heareth these sayings of mine and doeth them, I will liken him unto a wise man, which built his house upon a rock, and the man descended,
and the rain descended,
and the floods came, and the winds blew, and beat upon the house, and it fell not, for it was founded upon a rock.
So he considered, he knew it would be wise to build a house on a rock. The rock hasn't moved, the rock's not going to move, it's solid, it's not going to shift. He ties to that rock, he's got a solid foundation. Go ahead, brother.
Verse 26, and everyone that heareth these sayings of mine and doeth them not shall be likened unto a foolish man which built his house upon the sand.
So here's the man that's not reflecting in the mirror. Here's a man that's not concerned about being pleasing in the sight of our God. Go ahead, brother.
Verse 27, and the rain descended and the floods came and the winds blew and beat upon that house and it fell, and great was the fall of it.
Because he didn't consider. He wasn't watching. He wasn't considering. He wasn't turning from the things that he saw that weren't pleasing in the sight of our God. Let's go to Revelation, the third chapter. Revelation 3, and then we'll have one more after this. Revelation 3, and brother, let's pick it up in verse 15. 3 and 15, go ahead.
I know thy works, that thou art neither cold nor hot. I would thou were wet, were cold or hot.
Uh-huh.
So then, because thou art lukewarm, and neither cold nor hot, I will spew thee out of my mouth. Because thou sayest, I am rich, and increased with goods, and have need of nothing, and knowest not that thou art wretched, and miserable, and poor, and blind, and naked.
Look at what our Messiah is saying here. He says he knows our works. And if you're just lukewarm, you're just going to class. Well, if you open it to class sometimes, half the time you're on your phone, and if anybody says anything, oh, I got a Bible app. And you might be sitting there during class texting or whatever the case might be. But if you're lukewarm, the Lord doesn't want anything to do with you, sisters and brothers. These are warnings. That's why we constantly check our look in the mirror. Constantly checking our look in the mirror. Looking the best you can to go to that nightclub is righteousness. And every time you get ready to walk out that door, boy, you spend an hour and a half making sure every little piece of hair is in place. making sure that crease of the pants is just right, that it sits just nice over the laces on the shoe. For you're checking yourself. You're examining yourself because you've got to be the best that you can be to appear before our God. You've got to be blameless, and you can't be if you're not continually looking. Tell us where you're at and continue, brother.
Verse 19.
Yes, sir.
Verse 18. I counsel thee to buy off me gold tried in the fire, that thou mayest be rich, and ripe raiment, that thou mayest be clothed, and that the shame of thy nakedness do not appear, and anoint thine eyes with
eye salve,
that thou mayest see.
See, we're in need of that great physician because we're wretched, we're miserable, we're poor and blind. We have no covering, we're naked. We're without God. We need to check ourselves. We need to stay under his ever-loving care and protection. We need that hedge around us. We have to have it. Our lives depend upon it. Go ahead, brother.
As many as that love, I rebuke and chasten. Be zealous, therefore, and repent.
Be zealous, therefore, and repent. Go ahead.
Verse 20, behold, I stand at the door and knock, and if any man hear my voice and open the door, I will come into him and will sup with him, and he with me.
Yes, sir.
To him that overcometh will I grant to sit with me in my throne, even as I also overcame, and am set with my Father in his throne.
To him that overcometh will I grant to sit with me in my throne, just like I sit with my Father's throne. To overcometh, you have to overcome. In order to overcome, you got to constantly check yourself. I know I've said it 1,000 times this lesson, and maybe one more time. Last place, Matthew 24. Go to Matthew, the 24th chapter, and we will end it here. Matthew 24. Matthew 24. Brother, let's pick this up in verse 38. 24 and 38. Go ahead, brother.
Jesus.
The new Bibles, they can be grievous sometimes. Go ahead.
Verse 24, right?
24 and 38.
Oh. For as in the days that were before the flood, they were eating and drinking, marrying and giving in marriage until the day that Noah entered into the ark.
Noah warned them. They didn't hear no warning until he went into the ark and it started raining. And they're like, what is this? Go ahead, bro.
And knew not until the flood came and took them all away. So shall the coming of the Son of Man be.
That's exactly the way the coming of the Son of Man is going to be, just like in the days of Noah.
It's just going to happen.
Everybody's telling us to keep checking ourselves. All over the Word is telling us to reflect. All over the Word is saying examine ourselves. Turn from your wickedness. Don't think you're something you're not. Just because we're servants and we've been baptized, it doesn't mean that we just automatically walk straight. We got work we got to do. We got to constantly be watching and praying, checking our reflection in that mirror, always turning from things that are not pleasing in the sight of our God, always using the Scripture to keep us on that path. Go ahead, brother.
Then shall two, verse 40, then shall two be in the field, and one shall be taken, and the other left.
Uh-huh.
Two women shall be grinding at the mill. The one shall be taken and the other left.
It doesn't matter if it's the one that's taken is righteous or the one that's left is righteous. It says one will be taken, one will be left. One will be taken, one will be left. The ones that are taken or the ones that are left, one of them got to be wicked and one of them got to be righteous. So let's not go splitting atoms with these scriptures. One is righteous, one is wicked. Either the Lord takes them or he leaves them. He's taking them and putting them in the fire and leaving the righteous, or he's taking the righteous and leaving the ones that are there to be put in the fire. Those are part of those endless genealogies we've got to get away from, sisters and brothers. We have to get away from the things that cause division, from the things that sow discord. That's why we're constantly checking ourselves. Go ahead, brother.
Watch, therefore, for ye know not what hour your Lord doth come.
That's the important thing. Watch, because you don't know when your Messiah is returning. Go ahead, brother.
But know this, that if the good man of the house had known in what watch the thief would come, he he would have watched and would have not suffered his house to be broken up.
He would have got lazy. If he would have known he's coming Thursday at midnight, he'd have been up at 11:30 with a shotgun by the front door. Go ahead, brother.
Therefore, be ye also ready, for in such an hour as ye think not the Son of Man cometh. Who then is a faithful and wise servant, whom his Lord hath made ruler over his household, to give them meat in due season?
And sisters and brothers, he has made us rulers over his household, because he even said the things that you, the works that you do, will be greater than the works I did, because you're here and I'm leaving. Go ahead, brother.
Blessed is that servant whom his Lord, when he cometh, shall find him so doing.
Yes, sir.
Verily I say unto you, that he shall make him ruler over all his goods.
And we read about that. We read that the Lord was going to go ahead and let us rule with a rod of iron over the nations. It's going to be just like him. That's why we're checking ourselves now to see if in this flesh we're walking to the best of our ability, just like him. Go ahead, brother.
Verse 48. But and if that evil servant shall say in his heart, my Lord delayeth his coming, and shall begin to smite his fellow servants and to eat and drink with the drunken.
In other words, act like the people in this world. Go ahead.
The Lord of that servant shall come in a day when he looketh not for him, in an hour that he is not aware of, and shall cut him asunder and appoint him his portion with the hypocrites. There shall be weeping and gnashing of teeth.
Sisters and brothers, that mirror, you need to be checking your reflections in that mirror constantly, on a regular basis, constantly meditating on it, allowing the Lord to move you, allowing the Lord to take you and to mold you into what he would have you be. In meditation, you get things, obey those things you get in meditation. These reflections in the mirror are to keep us on that path, sisters and brothers. Once a year before the Passover comes, we take a good look at ourselves to make sure we're eating that Passover worthy. But the other 364 days of the year or whatever, we have to be doing the same thing. We have to constantly be checking our reflections in the mirror. So, sisters and brothers, as always, it was an honor and a privilege to sit before you or stand before you tonight. And I hope, as always, that somebody got something from these scriptures.
Listen, I'll listen.
Thank you,
brother. What you got? Amen. Oh, my goodness. Thank you, Brother Paul. Thank you.
Praise
for taking
God.
Out the time. Oh, my goodness. I really needed this, especially before the Passover. And happy feasting, happy feast days to you. You know, when it comes around the feast days, in the name of Jesus, I really, and thank you, Father, for my husband. But he really makes sure that we reflect on ourselves, look at that man in the mirror. I get kind of sad a little bit around this time. I'm happy, but I get sad because everyone's doing it at different times, and I see all this debating and arguing and friendships broken and just a lot of craziness going on when really we're supposed to be reflecting on ourselves and cleaning ourselves up, you know. I don't know. I'm just even on the moon thing, when I was like asking you the question about the moon and you sent me the info, and not only did you send me the info, you also sent me your literature on it as well. So I have looked at it, I've researched it, and we could talk about that later, but I just thank you for that. We don't debate. We don't go back and forth. Just because we might see things in a different light doesn't mean that you're still not my brother and I'm not your sister. And we love the Lord. That's the first most important thing, that we love the Father, you know, and that we're doing our best. That's what I tell my husband. At least people are trying to do their best to serve the Lord. They want to clean themselves up. They want to keep the feast days. They want to, you know, dedicate their lives to the Father. So, you know, why is all this strife and envy and debate going on? You know, it should be about looking at yourself in the mirror saying, okay, Father, I thank you for dying on the cross for my sin. I thank you for that gift of life. I thank you for redemption. I really do. So I'm going to hand the phone over to my husband, but thank you, because I'm going to listen to this again, if not tonight, tomorrow, because now is a really time for us to reflect before we take this Passover on the seriousness of what the Passover represents and why we're taking it, and to look at that man in the mirror and pray that he does pass over our sins. Just because we're taking the Passover doesn't mean he's passing over your sin. Nobody don't know you like the Father knows you. The Father knows the true you, and you know the true you. No one else knows, but the Father knows. Amen. So great precept, yeah. Great reading, Jeremy. You did an awesome job, and we missed you guys. We're so glad you're back.
Missed you guys, too. We're talking about you guys last week. We were all talking about you on the way to the show last week. Oh, man, not a living
life. I wish I would have known we could have met you there and came. I love King Country. I love praise and worship. I love the atmosphere, the release. I love it.
We tried to hook up with Brother Isaiah, too, because we were in Peoria. We talked a couple times, but we just didn't have the time. It was just so much involved. It was about a four-hour drive down there by the time we got settled in and everything and had a little time to relax before the show. But anyway, we could talk. We're getting away from the business at hand. I apologize for that.
No, that's all right. We miss you. I'm glad you're back. But thank you for this precept tonight. I'm going to really double-check myself. Oh, man, daily. And Paul, you know what, I beat myself up sometimes daily because I have to remember, I can't force people. I'm so bossy. I am really bossy. I do have the spirit of bossiness. I need to learn to use it in a good way. But I'm like, we got to pray three times a day. We got to pray this morning. Okay, we got to pray this afternoon. Okay, we got to pray at night. Okay, we need to fast for 3 days. Okay, we need to fast for a week. Oh, no, I have this in my spirit, that in my spirit. And I can't force other people to do what I feel that we should be doing as a whole. You know, I can't.
Right.
So I got to learn that if I'm feeling that type of way, maybe that's the Lord cleaning me up personally, and I just need to do it for myself to better myself so I am able to be a better servant for him, you know, so he can use me the way that he sees fit. Just thank you. I'm just going to really look at myself. Write some things down, jot some things down on a piece of paper, meditate, pray over those things. And I just really appreciate you taking out the time to make us look at ourselves, to really give us those scriptures that we really need to check ourselves. Because the Lord's going to start at the church first. He's beginning at the church. And if anybody else, before my husband says anything, if anyone else would like to say anything, and we'll unmute your line and you'll be able to speak and give a testimony, a comment, or a question. Amen. Go ahead.
No, I just want to say, man, it was a great precept. And, you know, if I could add a verse, it would be the Psalms 19. And 7. It says, "The law of the Lord is perfect, converting a soul. The testimony of the Lord is sure, making wise the simple. The statutes of the Lord are right, rejoicing the heart. The commandment of the Lord is pure, enlightening the eyes." So, you know, it's for every man, you know, every man is to be persuaded in their own heart. And that's the end game. We all know that time of the year, everybody's everywhere, somewhere. And Jacob said, well, at least we're trying to get to one place. You know, ultimately, man, Jesus is the judge, man. God is really the judge. And that's where we're going to leave it in his hands, you know. And just keep, you know, one thing we can do. We can keep the Sabbath day. We can keep the rest of the laws and statutes, you know, and let him work out those hidden things and those secret things. He will enlighten our eyes. Up until the end, I'm persuaded, I'm going to rejoice in it. And I hope everybody rejoices in what they're persuaded, you know. No offense. Just hey, enjoy the fruits of the labors. Enjoy the things that the Father put in your heart to do, because truly that's what he did. You know, so rejoice in those things, man. What else is we to do but that? So I ain't making no apologies. You know, hey, it's too bad that you can't get along and not have an understanding that hey. Everybody's not going to agree on everything. That's all to it. You know, it's just like a house. You got like five brothers and five sisters. Everybody loves each other, but you better believe everybody don't agree with everybody in that house on everything. And guess what? Everybody don't even agree with their parents in that house. But they still can get along and live together. That's 12 people with different opinions. So what's the difference? What are we missing? I don't know. Maybe we'll figure that out if we go back to our roots. Maybe we need to figure out how to love our family. Then come back and talk about God, right? Well, I have to say, man, you know, hey, this is awesome precept. Loved it. Ain't nothing like the Lord when he tell you the law of the Lord is perfect, converting the soul. That's a mirror that you don't, you know, the law points out sin. And you don't want the law to be checking you like that. Although, if you see it, then he tell you better than that. He said the law converts. When you look at yourself, the law will fix it. The law of the Lord is perfect, converting the soul. So it'll tell you what's wrong and have you to fix it if you look at yourself. So, you know, they say the testimonies of the Lord is sure, make it wise to simple. You know, so these things, and, you know, it's exactly what the Father is. He's talking about your manners, our manners, you know, toward one another. Amen. I bid you peace in the name of Jesus. And I truly appreciate the precept.
Yeah, this is serious.
Awesome.
You really got to look at yourself. Some people don't like deliverance. We need deliverance. We need deliverance. You brothers have been bringing some bomb lessons, and towards the end when we have little discussions before we close out, I see the more now that I'm reading the scriptures and stuff and looking up words and synonyms and this and that, you can tell when people are having discussions at the end of these lessons when they don't want to let go of a certain spirit, that they need deliverance in certain areas in their life. You can hear it in their voice. You can hear their tone change. I don't know. It's just now's the time to really reflect and look at yourself and ask the Lord to remove those things that are unpleasing in his sight and those things that are going to cause you not to grow. Like we were talking about the other day, babe, pruning the tree, pruning your tree. Remember?
Yeah. You're always checking the fruit, making sure that you're keeping the good fruit and shaking the bad fruit, you know, letting it fall to the ground just like any other fruit tree. And just remember that all of your fruit isn't exactly the greatest fruit. Some isn't ripe. Some is rotten. You know, some is rotten to the core. It was never made to eat. But those things that's closest to the light and closest to the sun, you know, that's your best fruit. So, hey, you know, we just got to make sure that the Lord is constantly pruning us and hoping that we can keep bearing our fruit. And as we go into these feast seasons, we don't want to appear before the Lord empty. So, hey, man, you know, you want to make sure you got fruit on your tree.
Amen.
Never want to appear before the Lord God of Israel empty. That's your work, your righteousness. That's your fruit.
Amen.
So that's a good thing, man. This is that time of the year. Three times a year, you better make sure you have some fruit. Don't be coming before the Lord with wickedness. You better come before him with righteousness.
Amen.
Right?
Amen.
Okay.
Yeah,
hey.
Great message.
Yeah, amen. So is there anything else? Is there any hands up? Or
no? Mm-hmm,
Okay. All right. Well, then that's fine. Brother Paul, well, do you have anything that you'd like to close us out with?
I just want to end with this. What makes an elder in the church? It's not a sister or a brother that's got 20 or 30 years or whatever. Elders have great respect from the Lord. Elders are looked upon by the Lord as very righteous people. There's a reason why a person is an elder in the church, because he's responded to what he has seen that the Lord has given him. And every time he responds in the Lord's righteousness, the Lord puts a little bit more on him. And when he responds with that, the Lord puts a little bit more on him. And before you know it, you got 15, 20, 25, 30, 35, 40 years in the Word, but it's not the years that are giving you the experience. It's the walk in righteousness, like Brother Joe read in Psalm 19. The Lord's ways are perfect. They're a lamp unto my feet. They guide my path. They light my way. That's what makes an elder in the Word. And sisters and brothers, without becoming an elder in the Word, whether you die after 3 or 4 years in the Word, or you live to have 40 or 50 years in the Word, if the Lord does not consider you an elder in the Word, you don't have a shot at the tree of life. In other words, constantly checking yourself, responding to what you're seeing, taking it to prayer and meditation, and the whole encompass of the walk of walking perfect before God, obedience to every word that proceedeth out of his mouth. So again, I'm going to go ahead and yield the mic. I appreciate the opportunity to stand before you, and I will see you again, God willing, or I will talk with you again, God willing, next Sunday night, and I yield the mic. Grace and peace in Jesus' name, everybody.
Shalom, shalom. So, we want to thank everybody for their time, and we hope you edified from them. We want to thank our brother Paul Mazaluski and the Fellowship of the Spirit Bible Study Class. You can catch our brother Paul here every Sunday evening at 7 o'clock p.m. So be prepared to hear very, 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 very inspiring, inspiring, and lifting. Thank you, brother, for the encouragement. Gosh, thank you. So in Jesus' name, we thank everybody for their time. We hope we edify someone, and as we stay here at the Sound of the Living Water, do it.
Read your
Bible. Read your
Bibles. Sounds of the Living Water Radio Show. Sounds of the Living Water. Sounds of the Living Water. Sounds of the Living Water Radio Show.
Teach the Bible from Genesis to Revelation. Preach the gospel unto the scattered nations. So many people are lost, it's time to be awakened. Come out of this world, it's ran by Satan. Through the Most High, lost, bleed from things pagan. Understanding the word of Yah is really breathtaking. Under his love and covering is so amazing. Thank you each day, so now let's praise him. Do things in unity, you and me. You wanna know what we're talking about? Come and see. It's time to be deeply rooted up like a tree. You want the truth, it will set you free.
Sounds of the living water, sounds of the living water, sounds of the living water, radio show. Sounds of the living water, sounds of the living water, sounds of the living water, radio show. Sounds of the living water, sounds of the living water, sounds of the living water, radio show. Sounds of the living water, sounds of the living water, sounds of the living water, radio show.